You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 29th of September 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to continue with talking about this demographics conference that they held in Hungary. It's actually the fourth conference of its kind that they have held. They appear to be the only people in Europe that are concerned about particularly their nation shrinking in number and what this means for Hungary, but also for all European nations this is happening to. And we're exasperating it by importing peoples from over the other side of the world, which will, of course, lead to the dilution of our nation, the interbreeding with these other peoples, and we will end up with a nation or a country that no longer looks like the country that was actually built by our ancestors. And eventually you could end up with our ethnicity going completely extinct just through the interbreeding. The reasons given for why this is going on, of course, is because it's good for the economy and because we're not producing enough to reproduce ourselves, we have to import others in order to make the numbers up. But as I pointed out yesterday, what this means is that the resources get taken for the other people group. They're not going to give them to our people group. They're going to take them for their people group. And that's just the way that things are. It's completely natural. What is unnatural is what we are doing as white people in handing over our resources to these other groups. And the reason why that is going on is because our elected representatives have chosen to do this. And as I've pointed out before in the past, this is because they've given into temptation. Basically, they've given into greed. And they are the same people that we are. And I dare say that the temptations that are placed before them are far greater than the temptations that get placed before us. So we should be careful not to think that we are any better than them, and we should work on resisting temptation ourselves. Now, the interesting thing about this conference is that they're not just talking about immigration and the replacement migration that is going on, and the UN itself describes it as replacement migration. The Great Replacement is not a conspiracy theory. That terminology is based on the UN's own terminology. Now, at this conference, they're not just talking about that, but they're also talking about what has actually led to that. The political correctness, the cultural Marxism, the promotion of all these ideologies which actually weaken the nation. And these are subjects that we've been talking about in nationalism for years now. And they're now breaking into the mainstream because Hungary is a major country, a major Central European power that is now talking about this, that is now hosting conferences where this sort of thing is being discussed. And today I want to really talk about what the Serbian president has had to say about this. The West is being subjected to liberal political Marxism theories which threaten its very survival on the most fundamental level because ever greater numbers of people have been successfully convinced to stop having children, the Serbian president warned at the biennial demographic summit. So it's not just the immigration problem that we have here, it's this ideology, this liberal political Marxist ideology that children are being indoctrinated in, students are being forced to go along with in order to actually join universities now. They're having to go on white privilege courses. And the end result of this is the lower birth rate amongst our people. And then to compound that problem, we have the importation of different ethnicities from around the world into our countries. Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić made the remarks at the Budapest-hosted conference, the fourth of its kind, alongside other key pro-family politicians and influencers from around the world, including former US Vice President Mike Pence, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, and French pro-life conservative Marion Maréchal Le Pen, who is, of course, from the French National Rally, formerly known as the National Front. President Vučić said his country was already putting in place financial measures to help families, which he said was in emulation of the already successful policies in Hungary. So they're going to reward mothers for having children. They're going to reward families for staying together and not getting divorced, which is the opposite of the dysgenic policies that we have in Britain, which reward families for splitting up by giving benefits to single mothers and not giving similar benefits to families that stay together. And in a lot of cases, it is far more financially beneficial to actually not stay together. And also another encouragement from this is for there to just be single mothers in the first place that end up having children without even being married, without being able to give them a stable foundation. Because this isn't just about increasing the numbers of people that are already here. It's about giving them the very best chances in life. And in order to have the very best chance in life, you need to be brought up by both a mother and a father in a stable home. And then the likelihood is that when you grow up, you will provide the same for your children. It's a very sad fact of life that children from broken homes, no matter how much they may not want to inflict that on their own children, sadly, they end up doing so. So the point of these policies isn't just to encourage the birth of more children, but it's also to help keep families together. The new pro-family moves by a handful of nations aside, however, Vučić warned the West faced a serious challenge in politics, mindsets, and different opinions, which had rendered women having children unfashionable and made speaking favourably about families improper or even outright impolite. And this is, of course, because of the homosexual agenda. When you talk about it being proper and right for a child to have both a mother and a father, you can be accused of being homophobic because we like to promote this idea that children have the same chances and the same outcomes in life if they have two fathers or two mothers instead of a mother and a father. And of course, when that happens, the child misses out on all the things that are unique to the other gender. They're not going to have a balanced upbringing. Illustrating the massive cultural shift presently underway, Vučić challenged his audience to try an experiment to see which of two images shared on social media could reliably get more likes. He said, in today's world, if you put on Twitter or Instagram or some other social network, if you put a nice photo of a beautiful dog we have in our home, and I love animals, I adore them, you are always going to get more likes than if you put a beautiful photo of your kids. And this is very sad, but it is very true. One of my favourite pictures of Viktor Orban is of him there with his grandchildren. It's a lovely picture. I've used it a couple of times to illustrate podcasts where we featured Viktor Orban at Radio Albion. And if you compare that to leaders such as Angela Merkel, who has no children or grandchildren, or Theresa May, who has no children or grandchildren. I'm not sure if the Scottish minister, whether she has children. I don't think she does. I mean, most of the women leaders that we have in Europe don't actually have children. One notable exception to that, in actual fact, is Ursula von der Leyen, who I believe does actually have six children, which is a very good example to set. And of course, you can say, well, Boris Johnson, he's just had a new child, and they've made a big thing about promoting pictures of Boris Johnson's new baby. But of course, how many relationships has Boris Johnson had? How many families has he started? And then how many of them have then become broken up? He's not really setting a very good example there at leading the country of setting a good standard with morality. And in the past, leaders were always expected to protect the morality of the nation and to set a good example. And they had to protect the morals of the nation. Things like pornography could never be allowed. That's something that's just come about in the last 100 years, which again has affected the family. It's broken down the relationships between men and women, and it has promoted this idea that it's a good idea to sleep around. And the more you sleep around, the less chance there is going to be of you being able to stick together with one partner. The best chance you have of providing a stable home for your family is if you don't sleep around and you marry the first person you sleep with and you get married very young. The sort of things that we're told is we really shouldn't be doing and is really unfashionable. We're told that when we're young, we should have as many partners as we like to work out who it is that we want to settle down with. And in actual fact, that's pretty much a guarantee for failure. It means that you're not going to be able to settle down with one partner and provide a stable home for your children. Just about everything that we are promoting today to people as being the right way to live is not the right way to live. It's a way to weaken the nation. And this is an example of that. I mean, one of the great things that I do like seeing on Twitter is pregnant women. I mean, it's wonderful to see a pregnant white woman glowing. I mean, it's great to see Laura Towler, that she's pregnant by her husband, Sam Melia. And she's absolutely glowing whenever you see her. She's just full of life. Women look fantastic when they're pregnant, and it is the natural way that they should be. I'm in the middle of reading a biography of Edward I, and his wife was pregnant 15 or 16 times. She was actually pregnant during her life. And once women have been pregnant once, they want to be pregnant again, because it's great for them. They get a big rush of hormones and they look great and they feel great. And once they have been pregnant, they realize how foolish they were to give all that up just so that they could impersonate men and try to do the things that men do. Men can't do the things that women do. Men can't get pregnant. So why would women want to try to do what men do? Why would they want to serve their boss in exchange for money rather than serve their husband who loves them? We are being encouraged to do all the things that are most harmful to us and most harmful to our children. And they realize this in Hungary and they realize this in Serbia, and they're trying to take steps to change it. And they're warning the West of what we are doing. Vucic continues. He says, I am saying something that is almost forbidden to be said, and I know I am going to be criticized by everyone. Please check this for yourself and see whether I was right. Today, it is impolite if you speak about children, if you speak about your kids, if you speak about family values, because you can hurt someone. But you are very much polite if you speak about how you are going to do a new haircut for your pet. You can laugh at me, but I am not laughing. I regret this fact. And again, of course, we don't want to offend people. If you've got some feminist there who's spent her whole life working, you don't want to offend them by talking about your children. And they won't want to hear about your children. They won't want to be reminded of the fact that they don't have any. And also, if you're talking about family values, again, that can be seen as excluding homosexuals or excluding transsexuals. So we have to be so careful about the things that we say so that we don't give anybody an excuse to take offence. And it is all weakening the nation. This development, Vucic said, was being pushed by a sort of liberal political Marxism, which was working to change Western ways of life. The changes were so profound, he said, that Western nations could lose the possibility for our own survival. And what he is referring to here is cultural Marxism. It's the policy that the socialists decided on after the war when they realized that the workers of the world, the proletariat, were not going to unite. They thought, well, we need a new proletariat. So what we will do is we will promote ethnic minorities and sexual minorities and any other minorities that we can find, and we will pit them against the other group, the majority, and we will say that the majority have been oppressing them. And this is where we get this idea from, that women have been oppressed by men, homosexuals have been oppressed by the majority, transsexuals have been oppressed by the majority. And of course, the majority is always white males, basically. So in actual fact, it's white males that are actually really being discriminated against here. But also white females, when we see terminology such as white privilege and things like that. And he's not exaggerating here, where he says that this we could lose the possibility for our own survival with this. I mean, how long do you think it can go on for with us only producing between 1.2 and 1.7 children for every male and female that we have? And it's only going to be 100 years or so before the nation goes extinct, surely, at that rate. And this is what liberating women has actually done for us. By liberating them, we've said to them, well, you don't need to produce children anymore. And they said, well, we're not going to. We would rather play at being men and going to work, even if that will actually make us miserable. I think women were far happier 100 years ago when they were having children. There's no greater smile to be seen on a person's face than on a grandmother's face surrounded by her grandchildren. It's a joy to see when you see grandparents with their grandchildren, particularly grandmothers. They love their grandchildren. There's nothing like it. And these feminists and the young girls today that are being taught they should be going to university and looking at getting a career, they're going to really regret what they have done when they start to get a little bit older. I mean, you can just look at the pictures of women's faces today. When I see the pictures of them in the newspapers, none of them look very happy. It's always the mothers and the grandmothers that are the most happy, and the most happy grandparents are the ones that stayed together, that worked hard at sticking together during the marriage. And it is hard work. Only today, women are taught, well, if you're not happy anymore, then you should just get out of the relationship. Just get out of the relationship and just divorce him, or just split up with your boyfriend if you're not happy anymore. And that doesn't lead to happiness. Years ago, all marriages used to be arranged marriages. The idea of marrying somebody because you had a lust for them, that was frowned upon. That was the sort of thing that went on in the animal world, not in the human world. And you don't really have to go that far back to look at this. Just go back a few hundred years and people were still getting married for arranged marriage, and you can go back and look at it in the classical world as well, and that was the way that it was back then. It's a relatively new idea, marrying for romance. And when you think about it, when women really didn't see any men apart from their father or their brothers, and then once they got to an age where they were fertile, they would see suitors, and the first male that they saw, they would pretty much fall in love with. And the first male that they saw would be the male that they had been promised to years ago when the family made arrangements for who they were going to marry. And of course, your own parents aren't going to pick somebody for you to marry that is going to be a bad person. They're going to want the best for you. They're going to look at the mother and the father of the prospective child suitor to see how suitable they will be. I mean, just to take Edward I, for example, that's exactly what happened to him. He was just brought over to France and told, you are marrying this young girl. And they'd been promised together, I think, from when they were children, but it was the first time that he'd ever set eyes upon her, and they were very much in love for the rest of their lives. And this is, still goes on today in India. I saw a program a while back about arranged marriages in India, and that they struggled to find anyone that said that it wasn't a good idea. But they did find a couple of women that were under the age of 30, but they couldn't find any that were over the age of 60 to say that it was a bad idea, because they had had their children and they had grown to love one another through having their children. That was the way that it was in the past. You grew to love your partner rather than falling in love with them, getting married, and then falling out of love. It was done completely the opposite way around. So gradually what's happened is we've introduced all these ideas, these maladaptive ideas that are harmful to the nation. And that's what Vučić is talking about here. That's what he's referring to with this liberal political Marxism. Part of this, the Serbian president claimed, was being forced through green environmentalist dogma, while he acknowledged that it was a duty for all nations, from China and the United States right down to small countries like Serbia, to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. Vučić said green politics were being waged as a war, a kind of jihad against the disobedient who do not accept left-wing values. Green politics are not more important than the end of the family in European nations, the president told the Budapest Demographics Conference. But to say so was not fashionable. And who do the green environmentalists think is going to carry the environmentalist torch forwards if white people end up wiping themselves out through not breeding? Do you think the Chinese are going to try and protect the world, or the Nigerians are going to try and protect the world? It seems to be a uniquely European idea to take care of the environment. Also to blame was the media culture, the Serb said. While world leaders had gathered to speak about the future of the family in Budapest, he predicted that the waiting journalists would swarm to ask those leaders questions about anything but the conference, as the topics being discussed at the summit simply did not interest them. Well, they won't just not ask them questions about it. They will find ways to attack them for it. They will claim that they're just trying to reduce women to being baby-carrying machines, which, of course, that's not what they're doing. The policies, particularly in Hungary, encourage women to study and go to university and to have children, because their student debt will just be wiped clean once they have children. So they're not just expecting women to not educate themselves. You need to have educated women so that they can teach the children, basically, while the men are working. You want the highest educated women so that they can educate their children, so that they can help with the schooling of their children. That's the natural way for it to be. While no individuals controlled the media as such, Vučić observed, there were nevertheless those who influenced the narrative, and who are very good at creating a media environment from which we cannot escape, leading him to suspect that very few ideas from the family conference would go on to percolate into the global establishment news. And we do notice that the mainstream media all peddle exactly the same narrative, exactly the same talking points, and they all try to censor the alternative media and accuse us of hate speech. And we see that with the coronavirus, people that ask questions about that, they're accused of hate speech, and they want to use the hate speech laws to go after people that are anti-vax and things like that, saying that because they're a threat to people, because they're giving out alternative medical information. So because it's a threat to people, that's similar in a way to violence. So therefore, it must be hate speech, what they're saying. And they're doing the same with environmentalism. They talk about climate deniers, which is evocative of the term Holocaust denier. So they will try to use any way that they can to censor alternative voices. And it's the mainstream media who are the loudest at calling for the censorship of what is basically their competitors. We are the competitors to the mainstream media. Vučić mused to himself, we are entrapped in a way, but we have to find solutions. Wrapping up his remarks, President Vučić noted, in 30 years, just one African country Nigeria, will have more inhabitants than the entire European Union, the entire United States of America. I believe it is high time to act and to react to our own hypocrisy and to take action which will lead us to a certain future, a future that will keep our nations alive. And this is quite a serious problem, is the exploding birth rate that we have in Africa. Just think about that. One country in Africa within 30 years will have more people living within it than the entire European Union. And over 60% of those will be under the age of 30. Nigeria just will not have enough resources to actually feed those people. And they will be wanting to come into Europe. And within 30 years, if the birth rates are still going down amongst white people and they do come into Europe, we will become a minority within our own countries even faster than the projection of within 60 years or 40 years, I think it is. Within 2060 in Britain, we're projected to become a minority unless we do something to increase the birth rate and we change the government's immigration policy. Now, I'd like to finish up with some good news here, which comes from France, and it could be very good news if she actually wins her presidential bid. And this is to do with Marie Le Pen, who has a plan to do something about the immigration problem. After the launch of her presidential campaign in Fréjus on 13th of September, the leader of La Rassemblement National, the National Rally, Marie Le Pen took centre stage in Paris for a special press conference on Tuesday. Outshined in the media by Eric Zemmour, a right-wing TV pundit who is also predicted to join the presidential race, Miss Le Pen chose the right moment to unveil a very controversial bid she drafted. And I bet this Eric Zemmour, I bet he has lots of financial backing in order to do this, to split the vote, because they're getting fairly worried over there that Marie Le Pen might actually win her presidential bid this time. To pass the controversial bill, Miss Le Pen announced she will implement a national referendum, which is allowed under the French constitution but rarely used. The last major referendum was in 2005 when French people voted against France ratifying a European constitution. She said, "If I were to be elected president, I would implement a referendum with one single question. Do you approve of the Citizen Identity and Immigration Bill? The bill consists of a full plan to take back control of immigration. What we are offering is a ready-for-use solution to all our immigration issues, thanks to a method, a philosophy, and a full legislative package." So they're actually going to offer the French people a referendum on whether they want the immigration policy of France to change. And this is something that we have never been offered in Britain. We've never been asked as members of the public what we thought of the government's immigration policy. And all the polls tell us that people don't want the level of immigration that we have got. And the government always promises to get immigration down, and it always turns out that they are lying. Since the Conservative Party got in and said they would reduce it to tens of thousands, originally it was just 10,000, but now it's tens of thousands. Since then, they've offered visas to the whole of Hong Kong. They've also said they will accept anybody from Afghanistan that wants to come into Britain. And we have seen thousands of illegal immigrants come across from France pretending that there is a war on in France and they need asylum. In actual fact, more than twice as many people have come over from there this year. And we've never been asked about this by our government, and they've never been asked about it in France either. I doubt whether any country in Europe has actually asked their citizens whether they want to have replacement level migration. And this could prove to be a real vote winner. With this never-seen bill, Miss Le Pen plans to control a large spectrum that includes any immigrant entry, the expulsion of convicted immigrants, the protection of the French identity and heritage, and even the interdiction of any communitarianism. And this is similar to what Patriotic Alternative have in their 20-point plan, the expulsion of convicted immigrants, the controlling of immigrant entry, and the protection of identity and heritage. National priority, according to Marine Le Pen, would mean any French citizen would have priority over immigrants on welfare benefits, council houses, and jobs. The C2I bill would only allow immigrants based in France to land jobs, missions, and functions that can't be practiced by French nationals. The details regarding these jobs have not been released yet. So it's basically preventing more from coming in, and it's also benefiting the French people that are already there, considering they were the people that built the country and built the infrastructure. It was their ancestors that did that because they wanted their descendants to benefit from it. And the French representatives have given all of that away to the children of another ethnic group rather than the descendants of their own. Although opinion polls have shown Le Pen as likely to reach the second round, they also foresee her loss against a hypothetical candidacy of Emmanuel Macron. Well, it could be that because she is offering this referendum, that might give her some more votes. Le Pen's chances of repeating her 2017 victory during the first round could also be jeopardised by a possible presidential run of Éric Zemmour, who could split the right-wing vote and allow a centre-right challenger to face Macron. "I am not worried," Miss Le Pen said on Tuesday. Well, it's great that she's actually talking about having a referendum of the French people, and I hope that this encourages more politicians in Europe to offer a referendum of their people. And of course, as I pointed out earlier, it is only Patriotic Alternative in Britain who have a comprehensive plan to deal with the immigration problem. And it is similar to this plan here that Ms. Le Pen has about repatriating foreign criminals and limiting the numbers of any that come in. And of course, the PA plan also includes voluntary repatriation for those that are already here. So good news from Hungary, good news from the demographic conference. It's great that there are these mainstream politicians, the leaders of Hungary, the leaders of Serbia that are now talking about this issue. And also good news from France that Marine Le Pen is working out a plan to solve the problem. We just need to pick up our game in Britain and do the same. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.